Good evening. I'd like to welcome everyone to the Thursday, February 22nd, 2018 Planning and Zoning Commission regular meeting. May we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Mr. Stanton.
Here.
Mr. Strodman.
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Rushing. Ms. Russell.
Here.
Mr. Tuohy.
Here.
I am here. Ms. Lowe.
Here.
Mr. Harder.
Here.
Mr. McMahon.
Present.
We have eight. We have a quorum.
Thank you, Mrs. Burns. Approval of agenda. Mr. Zinner, is there any changes to our agenda?
You had placed in front of you a request table, so that will be one change, and that is for the subdivision item 1841. Other than that, no, there are no other changes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Zinner. Approval of minutes. Commissioners, January 18th, 2018, regular meeting minutes. Are there any changes or corrections needed to those minutes? I see none. Roll call?
Yes.
Minute? Thumbs up. Sorry. It's been a while. Thumbs up, everyone. It's all approved. Thank you. Okay. First up, at this time, I would ask any commissioner who has had any ex parte communications prior to this meeting related to case 18-41, please disclose that now, so all commissioners have the same information to consider on behalf of this case in front of us. I see none. Case 18-41, it's a request to table now, a request by civil group on behalf of Delta Tau Delta Association of Columbia, Missouri, to table the request for approval of a replat of LaPlaine Place to be known as LaGrange Place Plat 4 and a design adjustment to reduce the amount of right-of-way dedicated with this plat. The replat combines lots 3 and 4 of LaGrange Place into a single lot. The 0.58-acre site is zoned R-MF, which is the multifamily dwelling, and is located at 506 Rollins Street. May we have a staff report on this table to request?
Yes. As you've indicated, that this is the Delta Tau Delta House. It is proposed to be redeveloped and it currently is built over a property line. So the platting action is required. There is also, as the staff report that has been published indicated, there were two design adjustments that were originally asked for. At the time that we had prepared the staff report, there was a miscommunication between the applicant and staff in relationship to the design adjustment relating to sanitary sewer extension, and it being removed from the request. We were informed that they wanted to proceed forward with that design adjustment, and therefore we informed them that this particular report had been placed on the agenda and posted in this particular format with just one requested design adjustment, and indicated that we could not talk about the other design adjustment without proper advertisement and posting. So the request table is to allow for the staff report to be revised. There will be a new staff report produced for the March 8th meeting, which addresses both design adjustments as initially requested by the applicant. So we will have additional supplemental information that will be in the discussion section of the March 8th report. That is the purpose behind the request to table. And this is something to allow us then as a staff to be able to do the appropriate analysis of the design adjustment that we misunderstood was being requested to be removed. We would support the request to table.
Thank you, Mr. Zinner. Commissioners, any questions of staff? Mr. McMahon.
I have a motion.
Real quick, as in past practices, it's not a public hearing, but if there's anybody in the audience who'd like to come forward and speak on this matter, please do so at this time. If not, commissioners, any discussion or motions? Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the case of 18-41 LaGrange Place Plat 4 replat and design adjustment, I move to table.
Second.
Commissioners, we've had a motion from Mr. McMahon to request to table this motion. We've had a proper second by Mr. Stanton. Is there any discussion needed on this motion?
Can you specify the date to which the item is being tabled, please?
I believe staff said 8 March. And so, I will move 8 March, if Mr. Stanton will second that also. All right.
Mr. Stanton, you okay with that? Yes? Sounds good. So motion has been changed to March 8th. That's the date that the table will be moved to. Any additional questions or discussion on that? If not, Mrs. Burns, when you're ready.
Yes. Mr. Stanton.
Yes.
Mr. Strodeman.
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Russell.
Russell?
You said Russell.
I did. Sorry.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Toohey.
Yes.
My vote is yes. Ms. Lowe.
Yes.
Mr. Harder.
Yes.
Mr. McMahon.
Yes.
8-0, motion carries.
Thank you, Mrs. Burns. Moving to our first public hearing. At this time, I would ask any commissioner who has had any ex parte communications prior to this meeting related to case 18-42. Please disclose that now so all commissioners have the same information to consider on behalf of this case in front of us. Case 18-42, a request by Crockett Engineering Consultants on behalf of J. Blaine and A. Alberti to annex 10.0 acres of Boone County A1, which is agricultural zoned land, into the City of Columbia and apply MN, which is the city's mixed-use neighborhood, as permanent zoning. The subject site is located at the southwest corner of Highway KK and Scott Boulevard and addressed as 5800 Highway KK. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you stated, this is a request tonight that we're considering for the public hearing for the permanent zoning for this property, pending the annexation that would be heard at council at a subsequent meeting. The property is about 10 acres, as you can see here, at the southwest corner of KK and Scott. We'll do a little overview here of the location. This is a kind of pulled-out aerial shot of the property in question. As you can see, KK going across the north part of the property, Scott along the east side of the property, Beulah Ralph Elementary School directly north of the site. And then generally, everything north of KK is currently annexed in the city, with some exceptions there, and then south, most of the property to the south KK is not currently in there until you get a little closer down to Round K. And so to see that, we'll pull out even a little bit further, just to give you a really broad context of the site that we're looking at. The red box kind of there in the center is the property in question. Again, we're kind of looking at the far southwest portion of the city here. This is the zoning graphic that was included within the packet. It gives you an idea of the surrounding zoning and also the existing municipal boundaries. You can see, again, with an exception there to the west of this property, this is generally the only property south of KK kind of in this immediate region. With A1 zoning mostly surrounding this property, where it's in the county still, with some A2 as you get a little further out. To the north of the site, most everything in there is currently annexed in the city. The pale yellow color is R1. Again, the Beulah Ralph School is also zoned R1. And to the northeast, so that is a PD zoned property. The majority of that is in residential, with a small portion of that, about 2 acres, being also in commercial use. To the south, you can see on the very south part of the screen. I don't know why we can't get rid of it. Also, some additional PD zoning as you get closer to the Scott and Round K intersection. A few photos from the site to give you an idea of the property and its current layout. There is an existing home on the property with an accessory structure or two also located on the premises. These pictures are generally just south of the intersection of KK and Scott. The top one is looking back southwest to the property and to the house there on the property. On the lower left is looking back towards the intersection. You'll see Beulah Ralph in the distance. And then on the lower right is looking straight south down Scott Boulevard. The applicant, as the chairman had stated, is requesting MN. That is our mixed-use neighborhood designation. It is a commercial designation or commercial zoning that allows a wide range of residential uses as well. Looking at the Columbia Imagine Plan, this area is identified as a neighborhood district. Within the neighborhood district, there is The specification for commercial nodes within neighborhood districts, specifically to allow a mix of uses in proximity to existing residential districts that would allow commercial uses, kind of small-scale commercial uses, that is accessible to surrounding residential properties with a specific purpose of creating better walkable neighborhoods and neighborhoods that actually provide amenities for residential areas and breaking up kind of the solid residential zoning that we do see sometimes as we get a little further from the urban core. This type of zoning would fit in very well with that specification for a commercial node. The MN, again, allows kind of small scales, lower intensity commercial uses. But again, it also allows the full spectrum of residential uses as well. In addition, as you read through the materials that was included in the staff report, when it talks about commercial nodes, it does kind of specify that major intersections of roadways are good locations for these types of nodes. And again, you'll notice that this is an intersection of two major roadways with Scott and KK. It allows for a little bit higher density in these intersection locations. And some of the additional benefits of that are allowing basically concentration of densities and uses at major roadway intersections, which could allow in one point in the future to allow easier access for transportation services when you have that kind of consolidation of these types of uses and commercial uses in these intersections, it makes it easier for public transportation. The MN, I will point out, does allow or actually, excuse me, require additional buffering when it is next to residential properties. So given that the surrounding properties are still residential, any development in the future will require some though to meet those buffering standards as far as landscaping and other requirements go. The one caveat I'll point out with the MN in this location, even though we do think it is a good location for an MN and possible commercial, there may be some limitation as far as the further development to the south with some sewer limitations. So we do point that out, that while it may not currently be at a location, or at least the properties to the south and west of this, may not currently be in the long-term picture for additional dense development that would be optimal as far as supporting a more of a commercial node in this location. The flexibility of the MN does allow it for to kind of meet the market demands. And so if no other additional development occur in this region and the demand for commercial is not as great as would be supported by 10 acres, then the property actually can be developed with either residential, multifamily residential, or also single family residential as well. Just to give you an idea, and actually I should point out in this picture with the utilities, you do see to the north, this property is not technically within the urban service area. The black line across the screen there, just to the north of that, is the current municipal boundary. The hash lines is the current urban service area. To serve this property would require an extension of a sewer main, approximately 3,000 to 4,000 feet to the northeast of this property. Being outside the urban service area doesn't necessarily preclude it from being annexed, but it does. The Columbia Imagine does outline some specifications there for potential CIP funding for projects and also impact fees. But at this time, none of that is being proposed, and ultimately the annexation is part of council's decision at that point. This is kind of give you just a broader general view, again, of kind of the commercial node aspect of that. The circle in the middle there is represents about a half-mile radius. So kind of going with the commercial node aspect within the Columbia Imagine, that is the envisioned distance that these nodes would serve as far as residential properties. It's generally what you would expect for communities and residents and neighborhoods to actually walk to get to a service or some other commercial area, kind of falling within that walkable neighborhood kind of aspect. So it gives you an idea, again, of the spacing that is also recommended. Generally, they're looking for some sort of node approximately every, I believe it was, now I forget off the top of my head, I think it was every mile. Going north, you have about 2 miles until you get to the intersection of Vauder School Road, which is the next location for any type of commercial. And to the south is a little over a mile until you reach Route K and Scott. And there is some commercial zoning potential within those PDs. You see that intersection, but it's also fairly limited as well, size-wise, I should say. I think I touched everything on here. So in general, staff does support the MN zoning. I think it does fit well within, I think, the goals of Columbia Imagine as far as providing opportunities for services within distances or walking distances for residential. Ideally, it would have a more dense development pattern already, but if council does move forward with annexing this property, the expectation would be there that the community may continue to grow south, and so this would be in place to kind of meet that need, hopefully. So in the end, we do support the zoning, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, sir. Commissioners, any questions for staff? Ms. Lowe.
You mentioned it's outside the USA, and that connection would need to be given for sewer. But any comments on whether or not sewer capacity? I'm assuming the proposed use would be denser than what's currently there.
The potential for the use would be more dense than what's there currently. Right now, it's a single-family home. Mm-hmm. Capacity in this area is the reason why they would need to build a new main, the approximately 3,000 to 4,000 foot distance to the northeast. They cannot connect into the main that's closest to this location, given capacity issues right now.
So just to expand on that question, so they'd be crossing KK?
Basically going along KK. They have to basically clear Wyndham Ridge subdivision to get to the north of that, to get to a point where there's currently capacity in the system.
Thank you. Mr. McMahon.
Let me double up on that, on the water question. Thornbrook, which is not very far away, has had water issues. Is our water fine here? There's a question.
Water was fine. Yes, Consolidated Water serves this site, and they had no capacity issues. In fact, had more than enough water, it seemed like, to serve the site, given future potential.
Any additional questions for Mr. Smith? I see none. I'll go ahead and open this as a public hearing. I'll open it to anyone who'd like to come forward. We would just ask that you give us your name and address before you start.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Tim Crockett, Crockett Engineering, 1000 West Nifon, Columbia. Clint,
would you say? Yes.
First of all, I'd like to start off, Mr. McMahon, to answer your question. Yes, I've understood that Thornbrook does have had some water issues. Thornbrook is in the City of Columbia Water Territory. This area is in the Consolidated Water Territory, and the water tower that's in Thornbrook is actually does not serve Thornbrook. That serves the water district, and it does not serve Thornbrook. So this piece of property would be served off of that water tower while Thornbrook does not. Again, Tim Crockett, I represent the contract purchaser. They are unable, husband and wife, they're unable to be here tonight. Their young daughter had surgery today, so I told them it's more important for them to be there than here. Quick overview, I think Mr. Smith did a pretty good job. We're only asking for rezoning at this time, along with the annexation. We're requesting the MN district. We are saying it's 10 acres gross, but it's really actually it's about 9.5 acres, given some street easements on the property. Directly across the street from Beulah Ralph and existing commercials already out there. I want to talk about the proper location for this MN zoning. It has nodal location. And when I say that, when you look in Columbia Imagine, they have this diagram in there that kind of talks about major intersections and how they're kind of scattered throughout as far as the node map goes. And so you look at that, and then you look at what we have here. This is a map showing the area as well. The blue portions are existing nodal commercial that's out there already. The teal that's in the middle is a proposed development. You can kind of see that it kind of falls in line with what Columbia Imagine kind of laid out there for us. The yellow hatched area, if you will, shaded area is the city limits. So while we are on the limits, we're on the southern side of Thornbrook, on the south side of the city limits there, you can see there's a substantial portion of city limits that lies further to the south, a little bit further to the east. Also, I want to talk about it's at the intersection of a minor arterial and a major collector. That's mentioned as well as far as where do we put MN zonings. It's in conformance with Columbia Comprehensive Plan. It's compatible with the adjacent zoning and land uses. These are all items that were mentioned by staff in the staff report. It's consistent with the goals and objectives of Columbia Imagined, and it's consistent with the City of Columbia UDC. Not too often do we have am I going to stand here and look at the Columbia UDC, Columbia Imagined, and have something that fits it so perfect as this one here. Talk about a couple of the statements that are made in the UDC, the purpose of an MN district. It's very clear, very specifically states the purpose of MN is intended to provide commercial shopping and service facilities in or near a residential neighborhood. Exactly what we have here. The principal land use is a small shopping area with sales and services oriented to the needs of the local population. While Mr. Smith did a little aerial that kind of showed a half-mile radius, and I appreciate that, all of Thornbrook would be served in this area, basically. There's no other nodal locations for a neighborhood market in this area. And so when you take in Thornbrook, Steeplechase, Wyndham, several other surrounding communities or subdivisions, we're looking at about 1,400 or more residential lots. Columbia Imagine states citizens have expressed a strong desire for mixed-use development, which allows for further integration of commercial and residential land uses beyond the Central Business District into both existing and new residential neighborhoods. And I kind of like that here because we have existing residential neighborhoods and we have areas that could be new residential neighborhoods as well. The idea is reflected in many citizen comments using the words livable and walkable. And of course, then new neighborhood commercial nodes or urban villages should ideally be spaced approximately 1/2 mile apart to provide walkable goods and services to surrounding residents. Well, we necessarily can't hit half mile here. As Mr. Smith indicated, we're about 2 miles to the north and about a little over a mile to the south. We're not hitting that half mile. All the more reason why I think this node is a prime location for this type of development. And of course, neighborhood scale commercials, walkable center located within a residential neighborhood. Again, exactly what we have here. And like this part, it can include a small market, daycare, or professional offices. Well, we have a daycare going in right across the street from us. So it kind of fits that bill. And the proposed developer, the buyer, is looking at some offices. That's really one of the things he's looking for in this location, potentially. Maybe a small marketplace, but some offices, maybe some livable units upstairs and that kind of thing. So it fits that definition. Right on cue there. So we think that this proposal before you meets the UDC, it meets Columbia Imagined, and really we ask for your support tonight and be happy to answer your questions that you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Crockett. Is there any questions for the speaker? Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Crockett, I just want to start by saying I'm a big supporter of neighborhood nodes. I think they're wonderful ideas. A question that occurred to me, and this will also be asked simultaneously to staff. This is great. There's going to be a small market there. We have an elementary school across the street. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a traffic issue. We've addressed this twice at council in the last 3 or 4 months.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, we need a safety crossing. Have we thought about this? I mean, whether Crockett's development goes forth or not, someone will do this.
Well, one item that we have to do, Mr. McMahon, when our development plan will come in, according to the UDC, if we hit certain levels, we have to provide a traffic study. And that traffic study is going to address not only vehicular, but also is going to be address
pedestrian
as well. And so that'll be something that we'll have to do when we have a final development plan. And so certainly we want to, we want to make sure that we have proper access to the school across the street and from this development. So I think it'll be addressed at a development plan stage.
I have full faith that you will. I wanted to get it on the record.
Absolutely.
So we are not readdressing this 3 years from now.
Correct.
Or 4 years from now.
Understand. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any additional questions, commissioners? I see none. Thank you, Mr. Crockett.
Thank you.
Any additional speakers like to come forward this evening? I see none. We'll go ahead and close that public hearing. Commissioners, discussion, questions? Before we may make some motion, I have a question of staff. Mr. Smith.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Since this is outside of the urban boundary zone, whose service is this going to be? Boone County Fire District?
The Boone County Fire Station number 14 is the closest, so it would be the first responder, but generally it'll be a joint agreement for servicing the property. That's usually how it works when Boone County has a closer station. Yeah.
Just curious. Mr. McMahon.
If I might, I'd like to follow up on that. We've covered water, sewer, fire, and traffic, and stormwater and electrical. I'm sorry, I'm kind of going backwards to come forwards. Which electrical service will provide power to this area?
This is Boone Electric.
This is Boone. And stormwater, it doesn't appear it's going to be a serious issue there, but our stormwater, Beulah Ralph is fully integrated into our system there. This is a Hinkson flow? Is that where this goes? Or County House, or where does this, do we know?
Maybe Mill Creek.
Okay. Sorry, drainage areas, that's where I was going there.
Mill Creek, yes.
Okay.
So it will be subject to our stormwater requirements
right.
when developed.
Fire. Thank you.
Mr. Stanton, did you still have your hand up?
I did. As it relates to case 18-242, I move to approve the zoning of MN. Also allows for full range of residential uses if commercial demand is not realized. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm off completely. I move to approve permanent zoning to city MN mixed-use neighborhood upon annexation.
Thank you. Give a second.
Second.
Thank you. We have a motion on case 18-42 by Mr. Stanton, which received its second by Mrs. Russell. Do we have any discussion on this motion? If not, I'll take a roll call, please, Mrs. Secretary.
Yes. Mr. Stanton.
Yes.
Mr. Strodman.
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Russell.
Yes.
Mr. Tuohy.
Yes.
My vote is yes. Ms. Lowe.
Yes.
Mr. Harder.
Yes.
Mr. McMahon.
Yes.
8-0 motion carries.
Thank you, ma'am. Our recommendation will be recommendation for approval of permit zoning MN will be forwarded to City Council. Moving on to case 18-43. At this time, I would ask any commissioner who has had any ex parte communications prior to this meeting related to this case, please disclose that now so all commissioners have the same information to consider on behalf of this case in front of us. Case 18-43, a request by Crockett Engineering Consultants, LLC, on behalf of Build Taco, LLC, for approval of a major amendment to the CP plan for Cross Creek Center Lot 105. The subject property is 1.25 acres and is located east of South Highway 63, north of terminus of Stadium Boulevard, and west of Cinnamon Hill Lane, McGuire Boulevard. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, Mr. Chair. The applicant is seeking approval, as you said, to a major amendment to the approved development plan for the Cross Creek Center, known as the CP plan for Cross Creek Center. As mentioned, the subject site is approximately 1.25 acres. It is at the eastern terminus of Stadium Boulevard. It will be addressed off of Cinnamon Hill. So this particular area has been the subject site of several rezoning actions throughout the years. So in 2004, 2006, 2008, and 2009 was the current approved CP zoning. The CP plan was approved in 2008 with a minor revision in 2009, and then the statement of intent was last revised in 2012. As presented, this amendment, its proposed uses are consistent with the existing 2012 statement of intent. It would be a mixed-use building of both restaurant, office, and retail. This is a major development plan amendment because of the addition of additional square feet of the building and then also the associated parking with the additional square feet for the building. To orient ourselves here on the screen, we've got the domain at Columbia here to the south. There's a break time right here, kind of south, sort of eastern. This is the FFO furniture site. We've got a four-story hotel. It's a Holiday Inn right here, and then a Zaxby's, as well as a Taco Bell immediately to the west of the site. So looking at the revised plan here on the left and then the revised landscape plan here on the right, the proposed new building, as I mentioned, would be larger. So we are looking at amendments to both the use of the building, the size of the building, the associated parking, and then also the addition of additional landscaping to meet the UDC. We'll talk briefly about each of those components here. In addition, the general site layout is slightly different, of course, to accommodate that additional parking. Also, parking lot trees and other requirements do change the layout of the lot just a little bit from what was approved in 2009. The access points for the site are generally the same. The building is, of course, larger, and then the building orientation is a lot longer and a little bit closer here to the south of the site. So specifically, the new building would go from being a 5,525 square foot one-story bank building to a two-story mixed-use building. We're looking at 9,000 square feet per story, so a total building of about 18,000 square feet. The amendment would also remove the ATM aisles that went with the previously approved use of a bank. Makes sense. Banks have ATMs. Mixed-use buildings often do not, so we do not see those ATM aisles on the proposed amended plan. And then under the landscaping plan, to accommodate those 43 additional parking spots, we also have heightened landscaping requirements. So we are seeing an addition of 13 additional trees to meet the UDC. And here I want to talk a little bit about the transition with the new code and going from CP zone property now to PD zone property. So major amendments to development plans do trigger the requirements of the UDC. And so there's a careful weighing in all considerations of the existing adopted development plan and then the new requirements. And so what we look at is places of the UDC that were not covered in the existing development plan now do become sort of the rule of the law of the land for the new development plan. Areas of the existing development plan that are more stringent or just don't appear within our UDC at all do tend to carry forth unless specifically requested to be amended. And that really carries forth and respects the public input process that went in to the public hearing and the development of the approved plans. Specifically, for Cross Creek, I do want to mention that there was a robust public input process between the developer and then two neighborhood associations. So the Timber Hill Neighborhood Association to the northeast, and then also the Shepherd Boulevard Neighborhood Association, which is about a mile to the west, did participate with the developer. So the 2008 mediation agreement process really informed the existing Cross Creek PD plan. So in terms of approved building materials, lighting requirements, max square gross footage of buildings, open space, et cetera, all of that in the existing development plan really did come from that mediation process. So I did want to mention that. The applicant has met with both neighborhood associations and has provided some correspondence. The Timber Hill Neighborhood Association has indicated no issue with the development plan. For the Shepherd Boulevard Neighborhood Association, the applicant passed along an email sent to the Shepherd Boulevard Neighborhood Association listserv. It came from the Neighborhood Association president, indicating that she had met with the applicant and that she, at least personally, found the proposal to be acceptable. So looking specifically here on the amendment, I've got the general amendment components here listed for you. So the previous use was a bank. Now we're looking at a mixed-use office building, retail, and restaurant, which is allowed under the existing statement of intent. The building has gone from one story to two stories and is about three times as large in terms of square footage. The associated parking has also gone up to accommodate those additional square feet and uses. The trees now fall under the UDC requirements, so we are looking at 13 additional trees on site, and then the entire layout has been slightly revised to accommodate the larger building envelope, additional parking, and building orientation. So staff looked at the components of that 2008 mediation agreement, the existing development plan for the site, and then the new requirements of the UDC when making our recommendation. We feel that the use is appropriate given not only the statement of intent, but then the surrounding land uses. The scale is not out of proportion with the rest of the site, and the overall governing components of the Cross Creek Center CP plan are still in place. And so because of all of those reasons, staff is recommending approval of the major amendment to the CP plan for Cross Creek Center, specifically for lot 105, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Bacon, for that thorough presentation. Commissioners, any questions for staff? I see none. We'll go ahead and open up for public hearing. Anyone like to come forward?
Commissioners, good evening. Thank you for allowing us to come. My name is John States. I'm one of the members of Build Taco, and I'll get to that in just a minute. But I'm also one of the original developers of this property, and Rachel is correct. I did have a lot of mediation with the neighbors, and it's been a successful process, I feel, through the whole process of the development that's happened. I've had numerous meetings with all the neighbors on every building that we've built out there. We actually own the FFO facility. We built the Taco Bell. We built the Break Time. And in all of those buildings that we built as Little Dixie, we had numerous meetings with the neighbors, and it worked out very well. On this particular project, we contacted the neighbors early, just like we told them we'd do 7 years ago, whenever that was. Shepherd has recently came back and met with me. She did come over to the office, look at it. She's sent me an email, which I've given copies of. She said I wouldn't hear anything else. So you had mentioned that it was her opinion, but she told me I would not be hearing anything else from them because we were building what they wanted, an office structure with mixed use with the retail below. The Timber Hill area, they did come. We met. We showed them the plans, and they immediately approved it and liked our look. I do have a handout I'll give you so you can see what. So I included the architect's rendering of the structure that we're going to be building. Just so you know, it's going to house my office as well as Cameron Dunafin's office. So Build Taco. Cameron is the Taco Bell entrepreneur. We're the builder. The lawyers came up with Build Taco. We didn't. So that's how that all came about. We first started getting calls asking, we're going to build them. Another Mexican restaurant next to Taco Bell, and so we nixed that real quick. So rest assured, we're not going to have that. But anyways, we will have two offices upstairs, and then the main level will be retail. Or, you know, we've already started getting a lot of calls regarding more office space on the lower levels. We've worked with Ross Landscaping to design the new landscaping requirements that meet the UDC code as well as the original code. Well, it's a very extensive landscape plan that we had to do originally with the neighborhood agreement, and it meets in above and beyond all that. We're here if you have any questions tonight, and we appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. States. Commissioners, any questions for this speaker? I see none. Thank you, sir. Any additional speakers that have to come forward this evening? I see none. We'll go ahead and close this public hearing. Commissioners, questions, sorry. Discussion needed? Comments? Mrs. Russell.
I'm going to go ahead and make a motion.
We would love to have that motion.
In regards to case 18-43, I move to approve the major amendment for the CP plan for Cross Creek Center, Lot 105.
Second.
Thank you, Mrs. Russell, for the motion for approval. And I have a second for Mr. Tuohy. Is there any discussion needed on the motion? I see none. Mrs. Secretary, when you're ready.
Yes. Mr. Stanton.
Yes.
Mr. Strodeman.
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Russell.
Yes.
Mr. Tuohy.
Yes.
My vote is yes. Ms. Lowe.
Yes.
Mr. Harder.
Yes.
Mr. McMahon.
Yes.
8-0, motion carries.
Thank you, ma'am. Our recommendation for approval of this major amendment to CP plan for Cross Creek Center will be forwarded to City Council for their consideration. Comments of the public. Would anybody like from the public like to come forward and speak? Comments of staff.
All right. I need to give you all a month. In between meetings, we seem to finish things up faster. Your next meeting will be March 8th. Unfortunately, you don't get another reprieve. We do have items on that agenda that will need to be covered. They consist of a single subdivision plat, another annexation request, and a neighborhood association downzoning request on the west side of town. And as discussed this evening during our work session, we will be adding a public comment session with a potential Planning Commission vote on a text change to the Unified Development Code for this particular agenda on March 8th. To go over the items that we have, though, it's not deja vu. There are two different maps here for two different cases. One is a final plat on property at the end of Strawn Road, which the city acquired recently through donation. And then the corresponding very similar map is for the permanent zoning and annexation of the same property. This is a parcel that is being sought to be annexed into the city as R1 zoned land, which is consistent with the current county RS. We have held a series of public information meetings on this since this application was received about a month and a half ago in order to address council-related desire to have public engagement prior to the item coming to them for consideration of annexation to try to identify potential future land uses for this space. So our staff report will have some information in it that you often do not see for annexation requests, and it will be a summary of that public engagement. And what we will ask the commission to consider at our next meeting when this is discussed publicly as a permanent zoning request, we may have residents of the community coming and expressing their desire for future land uses that may be able to be accommodated on this property in the future. We, however, have had the application submitted on behalf of the city with the request to currently just zone it to the comparable zoning classification of the county, because we do not have any final decisions yet made about how this property may be utilized by the city over time. So part of the staff report, again, as I said, will include what the public has expressed as future desires, and then you may get that at our Planning Commission meeting, which will be in an odd experience as it relates to normally annexation requests, and normally only the applicant shows up about what to do with the property. The plat is being presented for the purposes of being able to create two lots and the future road right-of-way, so that plat will identify that as the actions being sought on the final plat for this property. Again, this is property that was donated, roughly 47 acres of land that has a future development potential for something other than R1 uses, which would require additional rezoning actions and public hearings at both the commission as well as at the council level. And then our other main event item is a downzoning request being presented to us by the West Ash Neighborhood Association, as well as other individual property owners. This is consistent with the downzoning policies that the city has and that are incorporated in Columbia Imagined. There are 38 total properties shown on this map. And Mr. Smith will present this. We have public advertising out. The requested zoning changes are generally going from our RMF zoning district multifamily to R1 and R2. And I believe there are one maybe minor exception there. So this is the second major downzoning effort that we have had within roughly a year and a half. Our original one was in Ben Stevens, and it had 35 parcels. So those are the items that will be coming up on your agenda, and the one that we do not have is, of course, the text change that we discussed this evening. Should you decide to vote on it after public comment relating to our FPO overlay corrective language that we have been working on. As I had mentioned in work session this evening, we will have a work session item in addition to having Ms. Lowe provide a presentation on the Smart Growth Conference from San Francisco. We will also need to be discussing the potential appointment of a Planning Commission member to the Fair Housing Task Force. This was an item that was discussed at Monday night's council meeting. And there is an expectation of participation by commissioners from different boards and commissions, yours being one of them, with a deliverable being brought back to City Council in anticipation of helping to provide advice as to how to address fair housing related matters within the next consolidated plan, which is something that is produced out of our community development block grant component of community development run by Randy Cole out of the first floor of the parking structure on Walnut. I will provide information with the Planning Commission packet as it relates to the staff report, the resolution that was approved by Council, so you have that in context. And if you have desire to participate, come prepare to maybe offer your services for a short stint with this task force to allow them to develop that plan. We do need at least one commissioner, though. That is mandated by the Council direction that was approved on Monday of this week. That was the item I wanted to discuss with you before we had a break from work session before tonight's meeting. With that, that is all I have, and we look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you, Mr. Zinner. Comments to the commission? Mr. McMahon.
Real quick one. I just wanted to let everyone know that I have interest to serve on that commission.
Thank you, Mr. McMahon.
And Mr. Stanton has something for us, I believe.
Stanton?
I have interest in that commission as well.
Thank you, Mr. Stanton. Any additional comments from commissioners? If not, I would take a motion for adjournment.
I move to adjourn.
Thank you, Ms. Ernst. And thank you, Ms. Russell. We are adjourned. Have a nice evening.